Off with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
It's the A to Z of Merseyside football with John Keith, and we're finally at the end of the D's. They've been going on for an eternity, John. But you've had to include everyone.
Well, I know people who hear it say, we've left so-and-so out and so-and-so out. I realise that, but if we put everybody of every letter, we'd be here for literally years. So I've had to make arbitrary decisions. Maybe at the end of we get to Z, maybe if there are glaring omissions. But if we can just battle on, soldier on, Steve.
Someone did force their way into the D's, and it's the final name. We'll tell you about that in a moment or two. Yeah. But we've got two to come before we get to that certain individual. So we'll start with a Don Donovan.
Yeah, a former Everton captain, Republic of Ireland international Don Donovan, whose sporting activity began not with football, but hurling and Gaelic football in his native Cork. But then he was sort of persuaded to join a soccer team formed by a group of his friends called Maymount Rovers. And that was the hand of fate, because when Everton manager Cliff Britton was just enjoying a constitutional stroll through the streets of Cork, they were on a close season tour in 1949, he happened to walk past a Maymount match and thought he'd have a little look-see, and he spotted this 19-year-old inside right capturing his attention, and that was Don Donovan. And he was swiftly recruited, a swelling Goodison's batch then of Irish players, which included then club captain Peter Farrell, Tommy Eglinton, Tommy Clinton and Jimmy O'Neill. Now, as Donovan settled into the junior sides at Everton, the club were relegated to the old second division in 1951, but he was handed his debut early the following season in a 3-3 Goodison draw with Sheffield Wednesday. Donovan originally operated at right half, but occasionally at centre-back, and it was in that role he once had a fantastic game, subduing the great Leeds United and Wales centre-forward John Charles, and a lot of people of a certain age will remember that great performance he gave. But in 53-54, Donovan switched to right-back and was then an ever-present as Everton won promotion back to the top flight. One of his two goals for Everton in his 187 outings will always be treasured by those who saw it, a 35-yard spectacular to help Everton to a stunning 5-2 win over champions Manchester United at Old Trafford in October 1956, a quite sensational result at the time. A year later, Donovan succeeded Farrell as captain, and he moved on to Grimsby for £8,000 in August 1958. His son Terry followed him into the game, and he scored for Aston Villa in a 2-1 win against Everton in January 1980, and he also, like his father, played for Ireland. So Don Donovan, certainly worthy of his inclusion, Steve.
Absolutely, great legacy there, Don Donovan. On to Ernie Dixon.
Yes, a Tranmere centre-forward, Steve, with a rightful place not only in Prenton Park history but also in Football League records. His name, Ernie Dixon, who banged in 59 goals in 92 appearances in three seasons at Tranmere after being signed from Nelson in August 1930. In his first season, Pudsey-born Dixon was part of an inside-forward partnership with a guy, lovely name, Farewell Watts, and Jack Kennedy, and the three of them rattled in 93 of the club's 111 goals.
Wow.
That season, a record that stands to this day. Dixon stood 5'9", but was 12 stone of bustling power, and Tranmere themselves had been on the receiving end of his scoring talents before signing him, because he scored a hat-trick for Nelson at Prenton Park in August 1929, and he completed that with an acrobatic last-minute winner, which was followed by allegations that Dixon had aimed a blow at an abusive Tranmere fan at
what?
The final whistle. And a section of the crowd waited for him after the match, but he managed to give them the slip, just as he did opposing defenders. The Tranmere Rovers' Complete History, a wonderful book, labels Dixon as, in quotes, a temperamental personality, and observes, quote, he was often accused of leaning on the keeper at corner kicks, thus enabling his two partners to score. So clearly a guy who put himself about a bit, Steve, but a goal-scoring, a goal-scoring legend.
Sounds like a bit of a tinker, but his ratio is amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
59 in 92. That's something any club would take one of those, wouldn't they? That's Ernie Dixon. Right, the man who forced his way into this A to Z, on the D's anyway, is a guy who came up in conversation between me and John last week. We were saying, Richard Dunn, surely he's worthy of a place in the A to Z. John went away and said, of course he is. Yeah, of course he is.
Yes. Well,
so
well,
here
he is.
He is,
Steve. Absolutely. He's one of the impressive list of players who've been developed at Goodison, come through the ranks and progressed to Premier League and international football, which is why he had to be in, because he earned the club a £3.5 million transfer fee. Born in Dublin, Richard Dunn joined Everton as a 15-year-old in 1995. Next season, graduated to the reserve team prior to signing a five-year professional deal. He was a member of Everton's 1998 FA Youth Cup winning squad with the likes of Tony Hibbert and Leon Osman, by which time he'd already been blooded at senior level. Manager Joe Royle plunged him into his debut in the FA Cup tie against Swindon in January 1997, when Dunn, at 17 years, 107 days, became the youngest Everton player to appear in the competition, a record later lowered by Wayne Rooney. When Walter Smith followed Howard Kendall as Everton boss, Dunn was often used out of position at right back, but when Royle moved to Manchester City as manager, he signed Dunn in the autumn of 2000, and he was then back in his natural centre-back position, and he won City's Player of the Year award four times before being appointed club captain in 2006. Dunn later joined Aston Villa and Queen's Park Rangers, and it was at Loftus Road in October 2014, you might well have seen this yourself, that he scored the 10th own goal of his career to help Liverpool to a 3-2 win. I don't know whether you were there, but that goal was well received by Liverpool fans. And that total of own goals, 10, is a Premier League record. And he also, he also shares another unwanted distinction with Patrick Vieira and Duncan Ferguson of being sent off eight times, three of them with Everton. Dunn won 80 Ireland caps, scoring eight goals, and he retired in November 2015 after a club career spanning more than 600 games. And as you know, he's since become a TV pundit. So, nice guy, despite that list of sendings off. I always found him a very nice guy. Did a few interviews with him during his time at Everton. So that's Richard Dunn.
Yeah, absolutely great personality. And the one thing he'd always say is, properly wholehearted. I know he's got those sendings off and got a lot of yellow cards. He was one of those, I think sometimes he didn't really know how to time a tackle, and he's got a big frame on him, and it often looked worse than it was. But a wholehearted player.
Well, that's why he was sent off and scored own goals, because he went where angels feared to tread, really. You know, Steve?
Richard Dunn, well worthy of his place in the A to Z of Merseyside football. Right, we're moving on to E's then.
Yeah.
What are we going to look at next week?
Well, there's a few coming up in the next few weeks. We've got Tommy Eglinton, the Everton winger. Alan Evans, the teenager signed by Bill Shankly. John Evans, who was a fine forward in the days of Billy Little for Liverpool.
Roy Evans, of course,
Roy Evans. And John Ebrill.
Of course.
So we've got a few to deal with, Steve, in the coming weeks.
Maybe even Everton. Maybe something about Everton.
Well, and Everton as well, yeah. Yeah.
We also
have Europe to deal with as well, of course.
Oh, God.
The thing is, Steve, when you mention Everton, I was thinking of leaving out Everton and Liverpool as clubs, because it's obviously Everton and Liverpool are part of Merseyside.
It could go on forever if you talk about
forever,
the history,
but I think Europe as a subject's got to be talked about.
Brilliant stuff. John Keith Tater said of Merseyside football resumes next week. And a quick plug for a super book from Reykjavik to Rome, which is in bookshops now, which is the definitive story of Liverpool's rise through the European ranks from the 60s through to the 70s. Brilliant stuff, and it's in most local booksellers at the moment. John, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Steve.
We will resume for another week of A to Z of Merseyside football next week.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.